Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for coming to another episode of Powell Chapel Memorial Centers. So today we will go over Powell Chapel Memorial Centers retired pastor William H. Smith's lesson on the faith of a persistent. We need to go to Luke chapter 5. Verses 17 through 26. First, let's bow our heads. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day, for the many blessings and privileges that you have bestowed upon us. Please bless our nation, bless our people. Please go with us. There are many people that are sick and are hurting. Lord, please help them to see that you are the loving, true God that you are. That you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Please help this lesson where it can reach others and they can see and learn. And please go with me, hoping that I can do well in your sight. Christ's precious and holy name, amen. So it started out, the name of this lesson is Faith and Persistence. So let's go to Luke chapter 5. Verses 17 through 26. And this is stemmed from the King James Version. Verse 17, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which would come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, in saying unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith, unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. It's an introduction of imposter friends. Words and their definitions seem to change all the time. In recent years, discussions on blogs and opinion pieces have focused on defining the word friend in the age of social media. Is it possible for a person to have thousands of friends? Is it possible to be friends with someone you have never met in person? Many so-called friends on social media are criminals hiding behind fictitious names. They are imposters. I have found a simple way to identify one's genuine friends. Announce that you are moving and see who volunteers to help. My wife and I have moved more than 10 times during our 22 years of marriage. Surprisingly, we've had no more than 5 people who have helped us pack and load the truck. By contrast, I have over 300 friends on social media. Today's lesson allows us a first-century look at the results of authentic, Christ-honoring friendship. Context. The third gospel and the book of Acts were written by a man named Luke. He was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul and a physician by profession. See Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. See also 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. And Philemon chapter 24. Because Luke was not an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus, as it says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, he carefully investigated his information from those who had been so he could write a detailed account. See Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Most students believe that the Gospel of Mark was written first and therefore could have been one of the sources used by Luke. The scene in today's lesson is worded quite similarly to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Also compare Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Today's lesson locates Jesus in Galilee early in his 3.5-year ministry. His popularity was rising and he was drawing crowds. The news of Jesus' teaching and miracles was spreading rapidly, as it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 37. And attempts to keep things under control in that regard didn't work, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. As a result, Jesus had to make a conscious effort to carve out some alone time for prayer with his Heavenly Father, as is stated in chapter 4, verse 42, and chapter 5, verse 16. Now, in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, states that the healing miracle just prior to the one in today's text occurred in a certain city. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it's more specific in indicating that the events in today's lesson took place in Capernaum. This town, located on the northwestern bank of the Sea of Galilee, became something of a headquarters for Jesus during his tours of Galilee, which is stated in Matthew 4:13. Here's questions and answers. Question number one. You can find it in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Why were the Pharisees and doctors of the law present when Jesus taught? When Jesus prior to healing of a man with leprosy, also see Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45, it's a backdrop for the great controversy that begins today's story, which began to develop between Christ and the Jewish religious leaders. Luke noted in verse 17 of today's lesson that some of those leaders had come from as far away as Jerusalem, some 80 miles distant. These Jewish leaders were Pharisees and doctors of the law, or scribes. The Pharisees and scribes opposed Jesus. See examples in Luke chapter 11, verses 53 and 54, John 11, verses 45 through 57. Specifically, on their distinctive beliefs and practices, see Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 36, Mark chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, and Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. For these religious leaders to commit to such a trip reveals a determined intent that the person and work of Jesus required a thorough investigation. The Pharisees and scribes picked a good time to attend one of Jesus' teachings because God's power was present in a special way, and Jesus would heal a man with palsy, a man that was paralyzed. Question number two. What other determined men came to Jesus? What were their purpose and situation upon arrival? As you can look, the answers are in Luke chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. The crowd was so great around the house where Jesus was that a paralyzed man was unable to come to Jesus himself, but he was fortunate enough to have four friends who were able to get him to Jesus. These four determined men lowered the paralyzed man through a makeshift hole that they opened in the roof. These four men are examples of how friends ought to minister to one another and help needy sinners come to the Savior. I don't know any friends that would go to that length that these men did, but praise God that they did. This shows, this teaches us that many Bible studies throughout teaches us of the love and gives us perfect examples of how we should be. To begin with, they had faith that Jesus would heal him in Luke chapter 5, verse 20. It is faith that God honors. Their love for the man united them in their efforts so that nothing discouraged them, not even the crowd at the door. How tragic it is when spectators stand in the way of people who want to meet Jesus. As previously stated, when they could not get in at the door, they went on the roof, removed the tile, and lowered the man on his mat right in front of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The help and action of the friends of a man which was taken with a palsy is selfless and authentic. In their effort, the friends show what Jesus called the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself, as it is stated in two different verses in Matthew 22, verse 39, Mark chapter 12, verse 31. This account does not specify how many men are carrying the bed, but Mark chapter 2, verse 3 does. There are four. This makes sense when we imagine something like a medical stretcher with one person at each corner. The religious leaders' determination to investigate Jesus, chapter 5, verse 17 above, was matched, maybe even surpassed, by the determination of four men to have the suffering man healed by Jesus. This verse reads quite similarly to its parallel in Mark chapter 2, verse 4. Here's deeper digging. How will you demonstrate the second greatest commandment? See Matthew chapter 22, verse 39 and Mark 22, verse 31. How will you demonstrate the second greatest commandment toward a friend in need in the upcoming week? Who might you recruit to help you in this regard? A lot of times, it takes someone else. We edify one another. We encourage one another. We motivate one another. We should try to steer each other in the proper direction where God wants us to go. The paralyzed man will go here first too. How did Jesus reward the man's faithfulness? That's question 3 in Luke chapter 5, verse 20. The paralyzed man was also included as having faith that Jesus would heal him, as he was at least a consenting party to the action of his four friends. See, he had faith. That faith was, it's likely that he was more than willing to seek out Jesus. Jesus loved to see men act in faith and thus responded, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Thank you, Lord. Deeper digging. What ways do a believer's actions reveal his or her faith in God? How do you inform of the connection between faith and action? So you go in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through Hebrews 12, verse 3. And James chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. So look at those verses, and how do you, according to those verses, Hebrews 11, verses 1 through chapter 12, verse 3, and James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. Again, how does it inform you of the connection between faith and action? Jesus' words were also calculated to draw a particular reaction from the unbelieving Jews present. Question 4, what were the Pharisees and scribes thinking when they heard Jesus say he forgave the man of his sins? The answer is in Luke chapter 5, verses 21 through 23. Jesus was silently accused of blasphemy. This unspoken question of the religious experts goes to the heart of understanding the person and work of Jesus. The experts actually had a good grasp of what was happening. Jesus was speaking and acting in a manner reserved for God. For a mere human to forgive sins committed against God would indeed be blasphemy, which was punishable by death. as it stated in Leviticus 24, verse 16. But they failed to consider the possibility that Jesus was indeed part of God, that he was indeed God. The omniscient Christ read their very thoughts. He pointed out that it would be easy for someone to say that. Another sins were forgiven. No one could prove any differently. But the harder thing would be to heal a person bedridden with palsy. No doctors today can't do it. The great physician can, though. And he did. Deeper digging, how can you prepare yourself for others' questions regarding the identity and authority of Jesus? What steps do you need to take to be successful in this regard? Question 5, what did Jesus do next? You can find the answer in Luke chapter 5, verses 24 through 25. Everyone present could see the evidence of the faith of the man and his friends and their actions. Jesus, however, was able to see the doubt and lack of faith in the hearts of the religious leaders. Jesus could have simply healed the man and sent him home, but instead, he used the opportunity to teach a lesson about sin and forgiveness. Jesus, speaking to the paralyzed man, said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house." Immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. The man's sudden ability to walk was, or should have been, evidence that Christ had both authority and power to forgive sins. See Luke chapter 20, verses 2 through 8. The statement before them is essential to this proof. Everyone present saw the result. In biblical times, two or three witnesses were required to prove the veracity of an event. Check out Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6, Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, Matthew chapter 18, verse 16, John chapter 8, verses 13 through 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Thus, Luke confirms that a sufficient number of witnesses were present to verify the miracle. Deeper digging. How do you ensure that worship is your first response when you experience God's work? How do you maintain an attitude of worship even when it seems God has not worked in the manner that you desired? Question number 6. How did the crowd react to the healing of the paralyzed man? The answer is in Luke chapter 5, verse 26. The crowd was amazed at the miracle Jesus just performed. Evidently, this reaction of the multitude was that the charge of blasphemy had been disapproved. Jesus was vindicated. God was glorified. Hallelujah. But even more than receiving healing, the man experienced forgiveness and the start of a whole new life. Our Lord's miracles not only demonstrated his deity and his compassion for needy people, but they also revealed important spiritual lessons about salvation. They were object lessons to teach spirituality blind people what God could do for them if only they would believe in his Son. The conclusion, authentic friends. Social media has changed the world's concept of friendship. Only time will tell whether a new word is needed to distinguish between a virtual social media friend and an authentic real life friend. In the meantime, I will continue to post online as we prepare for our next move and patiently wait for my 300 so-called friends to show up. And they put laughing out loud. The friends in today's lesson remind us of the nature of authentic friendship. We are unsure how long they have been carrying their friend around on this bed. We know that when Jesus came into the city, they believed he could help their friend. However, they did not stop at simply believing. They put their faith into action and brought their friend to Jesus, overcoming every obstacle in their way. It was not an easy task to get their friend onto the roof, tear it apart, and lower him into the room. Undoubtedly, they could have spent their time on other matters that day. How can you dedicate your time and resources to assisting a friend in need? Thought to remember, God enables us daily to be faithful friends. Our next lesson, if you want to go to Powell Chapel Church on Sundays, it is at 119 Powell Chapel Road in Pulaski, Tennessee. It's called Powell Chapel Memorial Center. The next lesson is Faith of a Centurion, where we learn why Jesus was amazed by his faith. Please study Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. I want to thank everyone for coming. May God bless you and walk with you this week. God bless you.